They've been pushing all the federal agencies to engage in the same way, and the State Department has really been a leader in this regard. And so 21st century statecraft is really just an umbrella term to cover all the ways that the State Department has been doing effectively the same work as ever, but using new technologies to do it. And so that has ranged from raising money for the earthquake victims in Haiti via mobile phone, setting up a system for earthquake victims to send in text messages requesting help when all other communication systems were gone,
yeah,
or getting America's diplomats to engage over social media. Last year, you saw Barack Obama release a YouTube video on Nowruz, which is the New Year celebration in Iran. You know, in what I guess you might call 20th century statecraft, a statement by the president would have gotten skewed by a biased Iranian media. But with the president speaking directly through YouTube, Iranian citizens can watch the video themselves and decide what they think about this guy and this country.
And have direct access. I mean, it does feel like, and last year we saw where the State Department reached out to Twitter and said, hey, I know you're going to do a service outage. Can you delay that? Because this was the time when there was a lot of unrest in Iran, and a lot of folks were using Twitter. A lot of Iranians were using Twitter to make those connections. That in and of itself says, hold on, something's different here, it seems to me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what's different here, it's not the goals or the objectives of American foreign policy, but it's the world we live in has changed. You've now got this global network that pretty much connects almost everybody on Earth. You know, through mobile phone, there are now 5 billion mobile phones in the world, and you know, within the next 10 years, over 90% of people on Earth are going to have a simple mobile phone, and that's a real revolution. You know, connecting every single individual on Earth, and so the State Department is engaging what I think is actually a pretty progressive, pretty intelligent way, trying to leverage that network to achieve their goals.
A lot of this tied to Alec Ross, who is heading up a lot of these things at the State Department. Is this so tied to a single person, or is this becoming part of the almost the DNA of State Department, of diplomats, of the way people think?
Oh, I don't think it's tied to a single person at all. Alec came from the technology community, but he's really had a warm reception from all corners of the State Department. And Secretary Clinton has taken on 21st century statecraft and, you know, the use of technology in the conduct of American foreign policy as a project of her own. We saw her speech in January on internet freedom, which, you know, didn't get a lot of press, but I think was actually a really important shift in the way we think about foreign policy here. She gave this address that essentially outlined access to this global network as a basic human right, and called it a serious objective of American foreign policy that everybody on Earth have free, uncensored access to this network.
And we actually talked to Alec Ross just after that speech was on, and he also believes that that's a very important, it's important to talk about this internet freedom all around the world, because this is what really, he believes changes things.
It does. I mean, you know, to some degree, the jury is still out on how much technology can change a society.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen internet access get pretty widespread in China, for example, in part because of government censorship. You know, the people there don't have universal access, and you know, it hasn't really caused much political change there. It's the same thing in Iran, where access to Twitter, access to YouTube, and this vast mobile phone network helped organize a pretty powerful revolution last year. So we've seen that it does have potential to, as an organizing tool, as a public education tool, but it hasn't caused dramatic political change there yet.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's potential, and there's actually quite a debate in the technology community over what the likely outcome is.
We've seen over in the intelligence community some of the use of these tools internally to how they do business with Intellipedia and some of those things. And my sense is that's stalled out a little bit. I know over in the State Department they have, I always mess up the name, Diplopedia, where they're trying to do some of these things. Are people embracing this in a real way?
You know, I think they are. I mean, it's a it's certainly an uphill battle when you've got, you know, these very, very big bureaucracies that are very, very set in their ways. But, you know, the State Department's making a very serious push at using the internet, using internal networks to get every embassy on earth, you know, tied in and sort of on the same page, engaging over Twitter, engaging over Facebook, and you know, connecting with people around the world who, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it might have been a lot harder to make those connections.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we think of ourselves as the most technologically advanced, and yet around the world, a lot of countries are almost using the mobile platform is more of a way of reaching folks because it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how it's taken off in the developing world especially. You know, here we've got, for the most part, most people in the United States have broadband in their homes now, which is, of course, different from the way it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Kenya, for example, the mobile phone is people's only access to this network. And there you've really seen, for example, mobile banking take off. People are using their mobile phones to send money to relatives out in the rural areas, or to, you know, pay for basic services in the city. You know, in a country where a very small percentage of the population actually has a bank account,
right,
the fact that they can use their mobile phones to do their banking makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so they've leapfrogged in some ways past the technologies that we're still using.
It's always been my sense with these tools that if agencies themselves are going to adopt them, if they're going to become part of their DNA, that in the end it has to help them do their job better, more effectively, better, faster, maybe cheaper, but certainly better and faster. Does this help statecraft? Does this help diplomacy? Does it help you do it better?
I mean, I think it does. You know, the real revolution here is that this network, this global network, particularly the mobile network, is putting incredible power into the hands of individuals around the world. And so, you know, in decades and centuries past, we've conducted all our foreign policy, almost all our foreign policy, by dealing directly with the governments of other countries. And suddenly we have this way to talk directly to the people of foreign countries, directly to civil society, directly to nonprofit organizations or corporations based in other countries. And that's a real difference, and it's definitely a new tool in the foreign policy toolbox.